Well, Varee, old Father Time has about torn the last page from this year's calendar. Soon he'll be trudging over the hill with his long white beard and his traditional scythe on his shoulder.
Yes, and bouncing into the picture will be a cherubic youngster with New Year written all over him and 365 brand new days to pass around as his gifts to everyone.
You know, at this time of year, I always like to speculate on what the New Year holds in store. All these shining new days stretching ahead offer each of us opportunities and present a challenge to make this a better and happier world.
Before we start looking ahead into the new year, Adolf, I'd like to take a few minutes and sort of review the past.
Well, now, dear, how far back would you like to go? You mean our particular past or the past years? How many years back?
Oh, I don't know. Half a century or so, something
all right.
Like that. And some of the things that have happened to this country and lots of them that we will all remember and some that probably some of us have forgotten. Well, one thing, for example, some of the costs of food at, probably the turn of the century, when sugar was selling for 4 cents a pound and eggs were 14 cents a dozen and a very good turkey dinner for 20 cents.
Well, now, that reminds me. In New York, on West 44th Street, I knew a Hungarian restaurant where I could go in and get a very nice dinner for 15 cents.
You don't mean it.
Yes, indeed, I do.
Well, what did it consist of?
Well, one had a plate of soup and then a Hungarian goulash with some noodles and a little bit of pastry. Very satisfactory. Also, if I, on another evening, would want another inexpensive dinner. My dinners had to be inexpensive in those days. I would get a yakame in a Chinese restaurant for 15 cents, consisting of a whole bowl full of noodles with a soup around it and some sliced meat. Very satisfactory. Those were the happy days.
Of course, well, those were the days before we had the radio or movies or permanent wave or jazz or any of those things.
Yes, dear, but those prices that you mention, do you think they'll ever come again?
No, I don't think they will. I think that's all part of a past era, and I think that there are many reasons why they probably shouldn't come back. You see, I'm not one of those people. I don't want to bring back the things that have passed. I think that one should look ahead in life. I think that we can look for things to be just as good in a different way.
Well, I agree with that.
By looking forward.
I certainly think that the last years that you mention have been the most progressive and the most fruitful for mankind in the entire history of the world. No comparable period ever existed in the history of the world.
I suppose that's true, probably due to the fact that we have what we call the machine age, which came into being, and that naturally helped develop a number of things. But getting back a little bit to some of the rather nostalgic times, why, you probably know a little bit more about all this, too. In the 1920s, the Roaring Twenties, as they were called, and some of the things that came into popularity at that time and that we read about, one thing in particular, the college boys at that time. Do you remember that they were always eating goldfish? Do you recall that?
live ones, right.
And then we had a lot of flagpole sitters and the expression whoopee, which is still used, I suppose, once in a while now, but not quite in the same sense.
Yes, that's the song that Eddie Cantor introduced.
That's right.
Well, I can go back in the days of Texas Guinan, Prohibition, the gangster era.
That's right.
Alphonse Capone. People called him Capone. He was And, heavens, I could reminisce a great deal because it was during that period that I first made my first success in the silent motion pictures. And we have seen the motion picture, the silent picture, from the days of the Nickelodeon to D.W. Griffith, who gave us The Birth of a Nation, from the book of Thomas Dixon's called The Klansman, was the great force we had in this industry, and then it progressed until we came to the talkies about 1927, when everybody predicted that that was the ruination of the industry because we'd lose the markets here and there, and yet it went on to greater glories. And the advent of the radio we saw in the 20s, the first time with the crystal sets and the static and proud moment when the person could get Syracuse.
Heavens,
what can we talk about? Just think what has happened. The automobile, the perfection of the telephone, the automatic telephone.
And then, of course, past the getting on to the end of the 1920s with the raccoon-coated college boys, which seemed in my time was very, very, that was very important. A boy had to have a raccoon coat, and if you had a friend who had one, why, that was just the last word. And then the girls in those days were called flappers for a very good reason, that they used to wear the galoshes, you know. You wore them on a warm, sunny day, you know. You wore galoshes and you didn't hook them up. That was very, very smart. And the young men of those days wore bell-bottom trousers. Well, and then we had that marvelous, marvelous drawings by John Hell Jr., the wonderful jazz age. Do you remember that?
The girls with the very short skirts.
Yes, you see,
yes.
The hemlines were up above the knees, and
the
then
cloche,
they dropped out.
The cloche hats the women wore.
Well, we're back to those, you see.
And you're coming back to the raccoon coat again, too.
Yes, I suppose you are. Yeah. Even the dances of those days, you know, where today we do the jitterbugging and all the other new ones that I can't quite keep up with. In those days, it was always the Charleston and the black bottom. And then, of course, we come to that rather tragic period in America of the October the 24th, the year of 1929, when you had the stock market crash.
Yes, but I wasn't here there. I was abroad at that time, but I heard the repercussions there.
But you know, there's something rather remarkable, I think, about this country of ours, that it doesn't seem to make a particle of difference what we do in a depression or what happens to us. We seem to have the marvelous stamina and the faith in ourselves and in our country and what we are capable of doing, that people seem to pick up so quickly and go on to something else.
Well, I'm positive that the world is progressing very, very slowly, but it is getting better and better all the time. Of that I am convinced.
Yes, well, I think you're absolutely right.
Well, dear, I think we've given quite a thorough look into the past, and now I believe we might profitably turn our thoughts to what may happen in the coming year.
That's always such pleasant speculation, too. Today we can plan and dream of the weeks and the months that lie ahead of us, how we may use them to our best advantage.
I suppose you are making some resolutions for the new year?
Well, I'm not sure that I am. Resolutions somehow seem to tie one down to a pattern. I think we should all be free to use each day as it comes along.
Well, I'd like to take a look at what those days may offer. But first, I think we should listen for a moment to someone else.
Well, Adolf, here we are with a whole new vista stretching before us. What do you think is going to happen in the days to come?
Oh, dear, I'm no crystal gazer. I have no means of predicting the future. I believe those wonderful men who do the comic strips have done a better job of predicting the future than I ever would be able to do. I think we're going to have a much better world. I think that wars will be done away with. I think we'll have rocket travel to the moon. Other planets around the Earth, the satellite planets. I'm firmly convinced that's going to happen. We're going to find cures for all of the diseases that are worrying humanity today. For cancer, for polio, for all of them. I'm sure those are coming. The research and the work of the scientists is certainly going to bring it about.
Yes, I suppose you're right. And I think it'd be rather interesting for the moment to look at some of the predictions that were made, oh, at the turn of the century, that people had great faith in those days. For example, there was a magazine called The Literary Digest, and it came out with something like this, and I quote, "The ordinary horseless carriage is at present a luxury for the wealthy. And although its price will probably fall in the future, it will never, of course, come into as common use as the bicycle." Some of those are the predictions, you see, in those days of what they thought were going to happen. That was about in 1902.
Who said that, dear? Is it, do you know?
No, I don't know, dear, but that was just made by one of those people in those days who thought that he had the right angle on things. There were many others that were made of the same kind. For example, in a magazine in 1902, it came out and said, "It may be laid down as a fact that the operation of a gasoline machine requires the employment of an expert of high intelligence and thorough training." In other words, all of those things seemed to them just a few short years ago as being something quite beyond the realm of possibility.
What about H.G. Wells? He was one of the expert predictors of the century, and he said of submarines about 1904, "I must confess that my imagination, in spite of even of sparing, refuses to see any sort of submarine doing anything but suffocate its crew and founder at sea."
You know, it's hard to believe, you see, that people, and they were very sincere in those days, and they thought that they had the answer to everything, and how wrong they could be. But some of the things that may happen in the future, which, as you mentioned before, that will be very interesting, I'm sure. Now, they claim, I don't know how true it is, but they claim that even with the planes will travel from New York to California in 1 hour. That, I think, may be possible. They also say that by the turn of the next century, the experts expect the average lifespan to be 100 years instead of the present 65 years. You know, in all, I think that most people are extremely optimistic about the future. I think that we're all hoping and praying that our children will have a better world to live in than probably than we've had. And I think that that's probably one of the great qualities of the American people is our faith, not only in ourselves, but in our predictions and the qualities that we have and how we can come through and how we can face up to all of the trials and tribulations that the present-day world seems to inflict us with. But I do think that it's interesting to try and see exactly where we're going and some of the things that we can see that will happen and some of those that we can only wish for.
Well, the one wish I'm sure that everyone has at his heart is peace for the future. Peace among men. To stop all this constant warring between one race and another, it seems so senseless and so idiotic because the lifespan is not too very long and it should be made as pleasant as it can. I think that that's going to come about. I think that some sense and reason is going to come into humanity.
I think so. Now, I don't know. There was a time, of course, in this country when everyone thought that we might have a woman president. However, I think that probably that has sort of gone the way of a lot of other things. I don't know whether a woman today is particularly interested in being a president.
Well, I don't see why a woman wouldn't be president of the United States. Why not? They're in the legislature, they're congresswomen and women senators, and why not a woman president?
Well, that may be. Mm-hmm. Well, anyhow, but the one thing that I do want to stress is the fact that all of the polls that have been taken recently have proven conclusively that there is a very strong note of optimism in the country and for the future of our world in general, and I think that's a very, very good sign. Well, dear, I see we've reached the place where we must stop for now. This is Reed Teasdale Manjou speaking from Beverly Hills. And I don't know any better way to say Happy New Year than, well, just to say Happy New Year.
Mm-hmm. A thought in which I heartily concur. This is Adolphe Manjou joining the chorus of Happy New Year wishes to you and yours, and hoping we may spend many pleasant hours together during the year ahead.